Good morning. Today's daf Meitzes Yud Beis. We are towards the bottom of Yud Alef Amud Beis. We are starting with the words Masis and Deloki Aitana. 5-6 lines from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara is going to now contrast our Mishnah to a Braisa. Mishnah yesterday brought down a number of machloks between Bisham and Beis Hillel. One of the big themes of the first paragraph of Beitza are various machloks between Bisham and Beis Hillel as it relates to Yantiv. Vast majority of the time, Beis Hillel is the Mekel, especially when it comes to Simchas Yantiv. But the first Mishnah didn't go in that direction, but short of that, though, Beis Hillel ends up becoming a Mekel in favor of Simchas Yantiv. One of those kulas that Beis Hillel enumerates in the Mishnah is that if you have a teva, if you have a chest where you're holding your merchandise, where you're holding your merchandise and all other Yantiv wares, so it's going to be locked by a door and a shutter, and now you're allowed to remove the shutter, you're allowed to return the shutter. So Beis Hillel says yes, and then he says yes. You can remove the shutter, you can return the shutter, af machzirin. So that was Shitas Beis Hillel. Could be predicated on the principle of Ein Binyan V'Stir V'Kelim. In other words, we're talking about a chest, a movable chest. But the Gemara pointed out that's not perfectly accurate. It has to do with the fact that there's Simchas Yantav that's involved. And so as a result of that, not only can you take off the door, but you can even replace the door as well. With that stated, so the Gemara noted that this Shita of Beis Hillel, the Af Machzirin, is consistent with a couple of other positions regarding that the Chachamim were Matir the Sofa Mishim Tchilaso. That because we want to get, we want people to do a certain action, so the Chachamim extended the Kula even further. Okay, three examples that we gave yesterday, a fourth possible example that we gave yesterday. Anyway, the Mishnah is not in agreement with the Braisa. Well, we don't know the Braisa yet, so we're going to get an introduction. Masis and Deloki, Aitana, Titania, we learned in a Braisa, Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Modim Beisham and Beis Hillel, Shema Sachim, Satris, and Beyamtov. So where Beisham and Beis Hillel agree is to remove the tris on Yantov. That's the removal of the shutter. Lo nechlegu el lahachzir. The only debate between the two of them is whether or not you can return the shutter. So here already you note the stark difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. In the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, so Beit Shammai says neither is acceptable. You cannot remove it and you certainly can't return it. And Beis Hillel says yes to both. Okay, so the Braisa is not like the Mishnah. So, four lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says that's only when there is a hinge of ein lehem tzir. But if there is no hinge, if there's no bolt to the door, so divrei alkol mutter. So according to everyone, it would be mutter. Okay, so we get a bonus point over here from this brisa, and that is that if this door is not it does not secure whatsoever into the doorway, so that would be fine. That would be mutter according to everyone, according to both Beit Shammai and according to the position of Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says va'atayin. Now we learned in the brisa b'med v'amorim b'shein lamsir avayesh lamsir divrei alkol aser. Now, in another braisa, it says that when there's a bolt to the door, so then both Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel would both tell you that it's aser. So at this point in time, we are understandably confused. One braisa says that with a bolt, it's a machlokis. With no bolt, it's a divrei alkol mutter. Another braisa just taught us that with a bolt, divrei alkol, according to everyone, it would be aser. What's going on over here? So the Gemara says, well, there are bolts, and then there are bolts. Obviously. Not so obvious, but Amar Abaye, but that's what the Gemara is going to answer. So the Gemara says, first, let's go over the extreme positions. So if the tzir is min hatzad, now over here, if you happen to have a picture, it would be unbelievably helpful so that you get to see what's going on over here. It's basically the bolts of a doorway, right? You know the swinging door? So where, you know, it obviously is swinging on two bolts. So that's tzir min hatzad. So that's something that's really secure and really fashions in, and that is going to be aser. Aser for both the Shita of Beis Shammai and the Shita of Beis Hillel. It goes in so tightly, so then it would be aser. Now for Beis Shammai, it could be an Issa D'Oraisa, because Beis Shammai is of the opinion that there is Binyan, there is Stira by Kalim. Now according to Beis Hillel, ain't Binyan is Stira by Kalim, so when Beis Hillel here says that it's Sirman Atzad is aser, so it's not Alts Binyan. So what is it Alts? That's a wonderful question. I'm not sure if I have the correct answer, but it doesn't matter. In other words, the point, however, is it's Aser. So keep pligi. When is the machlokas b'sheish lam tzir b'emsa? I'm sorry. And if there's no bolt, so then obviously Beis Shammai Beis Hillel would agree that at this point in time, that's not binyan. That's nothing. It's just putting, you know, it's just putting a plank in a place, but it's not, you're not securing it. That's not called binyan. According to everybody, that would be mutter. Okay, so that's where they both agree it's aser. That's where they both agree it's mutter. Where's the machokas ki pligi? So when the bolt is on the in the middle. Now again, a picture over here would be really helpful. Oh, but basically, what you have over here is some sort of bolt. It's kind of like a deadlock. What it does is that it helps the door hold its position, but it doesn't really secure it in that spot. And the Gemara says that's the middle area, right? Pun intended, be'emsa. That's the middle area right now where there's a machlokus between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Marsav gazrinan sir be'emsa atu tzir min atzad, marsav lo gazrinan. Now, even according to Beit Shammai, it's not nisud daraisa, it's not binyan, but still, once you get comfortable with securing doorways with bolts into the door, so even though be'emsa, it's not asur, but once you get comfortable with that, so then you're going to go with tzir min emsa to tzir min atzad. It's not such a stretch. So the Chachamim were goes there. Masha Ein came, what Beis Hillel would tell you is that no. In other words, the Chachamim were not goes there. Now, if just thinking out loud, if Tzir Min Hatzad, according to Beis Hillel, is not Issa Darais, again, what it is, why it's Asr, I don't know. It is Asr. But why is it Asr? The Gemara doesn't say clearly. But if you could just follow me, if you can entertain, that if Tzir Min Hatzad is not Issa Darais, according to Beis Hillel, so certainly, the Gemara's point over here is that we're not ready to make a gzera of tzir min ha'emsa to tzir min ha'tzad. If tzir min ha'tzad to begin with is not asur min ha'torah, so then it makes a lot of sense. Because the Chachamim will not be gozer a gzera on top of a gzera. Okay. Regardless, either way. And Rashi, by the way, the top Rashi here on the Amud, which I encourage you to go through, Rashi says all the brises now work out. Meaning that once we have these three categories of no tzir, tzir ba'emsa, and tzir min ha'tzad, so now you go back, you revisit the braces, everything plugs into the braces nice and neatly, and so therefore, Mamish, we are good to go. We're in the Mishnah, on top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah over here now is going to introduce us to a really fundamental machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as it relates to Yontif. This Mishnah that we're about to start right now is really the cornerstone, right? It is one of the, I don't want to say the most important Mishnah, every Mishnah obviously is critical. But in terms of speaking to fundamental questions of what heter is there on Yontif, we know there's a heter of ochel nefesh. The Torah says so beferish, ach asher yechel ochel nefesh hu levado yaseh lachem. So we know that you're allowed to prepare food on Yontif, even though the preparation of food is going to be a violation of Yontif. But it's not a violation of Yontif. The Torah says it's okay. So ochel nefesh for sure is okay. That is the Torah says so beferish. Once there's a heter of ochel nefesh, is there any expansion of the of that heter? That is a really fundamental machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, which we're going to see right now in our Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah seemingly is going to have nothing to do with ochel nefesh. So how do we get from my introduction to the Mishnah? So hold that thought. All that is hopefully going to be articulated as we go through it. Beis Shammai armei mein motzin loas ha-katam loas ha-lula v'loas ha-sefer Torah l'rishos ha-rabim. Beis Shammai says that you cannot take a child, a lulav, nor a sefer Torah into a Rishus HaRabim. So carrying from Rishus Yachid to Rishus HaRabim is an Issa D'Arais on Shabbos. That's a Malach of Otsa'ah. Even if you're just in a Rishus HaRabim, you go Dal Amos in Rishus HaRabim. That too is an Issa D'Arais of being Mavir Dal Amos. And Beis Shammai says that if I do so on a non-food related item, like a child, like a lulav, like a sefer Torah, and obviously these examples, because they're mitzvos, right? The lulav is a mitzvah, meaning the carrying of the lulav is not a mitzvah, but obviously the lulav is going to be in service of a mitzvah. Same thing certainly can be said about a sefer Torah. So the point that Beis Shammai is making is that, look, I understand these are really important things, and these are mitzvah-centric items. Nevertheless, on Yontif, you can't carry it. There's no heter of hotzal for these items. On the other hand, Beis Hillel says mutter. It would be perfectly acceptable to carry them. Now, what is that issue over here in this Mishnah? What's behind the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? So hold that thought as we're gonna clarify. Tanita and a comment to Rabbi Yitz.
What's the cotton? You say the lula of the Torah.
Right. The cotton is mitzvah centric. Raising the child. I don't know. getting the child out of the house? Okay. I don't know. I don't know. I'm happy with my first answer. I don't know. So the I did say that. Well, you know, it's a, all right, okay, good. So Tanitana comment to Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi Ashochet Olo Nadava B'Yom Tov Loke. So the Gemara now is going to take a circuitous route in order to explain our Mishnah. So we're going to start off with a Braisa that seemingly has nothing to do with our Mishnah, but as the Gemara is about to point out, it has everything to do with our Mishnah. So let's say right the Braisa over here. The Braisa was brought in front of Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi for him to analyze it. The Braisa says like this. Let's say you have Olas Nadava that you shecht on Yantif. So the Braisa says, Loki, you're going to be subject to now receiving Malkus. Okay, so Olas Nadava, you have any business bringing Olas Nadava on Yantif? The answer, of course, is no. First of all, it's Nadava, it's a voluntary offering, which you cannot bring on Shabbos and Yantif. It has to be brought on a weekday. Well, a weekday could also mean Cholam Oed, but in other words, not Shabbos, not Yantif. And also, it's an Ola, which means that Mamash is no Achila at all. The entire carbon is going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. The hides are going to go to the Kohanim, but there's no Achila whatsoever. So over here now, we're talking about the shechting of a non-Achila entity. And if you do so on Yantif, so the Braisa says, you're going to be subject to Malkus. Violation of Yantif results in Malkus, right? In distinction, by the way, to Shabbos. Shabbos is an Isser Kares, it's an Isser Skila. So the there is not going to be Malkus for Shabbos, because a lav shenitan lazaris based in, Mises based in, is not subject to Malkus. I went over that point quickly. I apologize if you didn't understand. But anyway, but on Yantiv, a violation, a wolf, a violation of Yantiv, results in Malkus. So over here, the author of this Braisa is telling me that shechting an animal that will not result in Achila is a willful violation of Yantiv subject to Malkus. Okay, that's the Braisa. So Amrle Damalacha Mani Beishamahi. So Lo Armini Mitoch Hutra Salatzarech. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Now, in response to that, Braisa says, I know who the author of that Braisa is. It is Beit Shammai. Because Beit Shammai does not subscribe to the principle of Mitoch. What is the principle of Mitoch? Look, there are a number of malachas that are allowed in consideration of Ochel Nefesh. So Shechita, obviously. Shechita is allowed on Yantif in consideration of Ochel Nefesh. You're shechting because you're going to eat. Now, Beis Hillel will say that as follows. Mitoch, since Shechita is allowed on Yantif for the purpose of Achila, so Shechita would also be allowed even for non-Achila events. As long as it is, and I'm sorry, I take that sentence back. So Afilu Shelo Letzarech, even if there's no need for it whatsoever, there's no purpose for it whatsoever, so Beis Hillel would tell you that you are not violating Nisra Daraisa based on this principle of Mitoch. In other words, Beis Hillel has this idea of expansion. Once the Torah allows certain malachas to be violated on Yantif for Ochel Nefesh, so what happens now is that there's an expansion of that malacha, meaning that malacha basically doesn't exist. Now, the way I'm presenting the Gemara today is going to be according to Rashi, right? An entire Daf 2.0 can be dedicated to Tosus's presentation of the Daf today, but it's a Daf Yomi, and so hopefully what I'll do well today, can't promise, is that I'm going to present the Gemara today according to Rashi. And that is that Shelo Letzarech means even though there's no need whatsoever, there's no point to it whatsoever, there's no purpose to it whatsoever, nevertheless, once the Torah allows Shechita for Ochel Nefesh, the Torah would allow it, Afilo Shelo Letzarech. That's the Mitoch of Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai does not subscribe to Mitoch. Yes, Shechita is allowed, says Beis Shammai, for Ochel Nefesh. But that's it. If it is not for the purposes of Ochel Nefesh, if you're not eating and you're doing a malacha, according to Beis Shammai, we're back to an Isser D'Oraisa. Okay? So this Braisa over here that describes the shechting and an Olas and Dava Anyantiv, so if it's not resulting in Achila, which it's not, so according to the Braisa, you're a Loki, you're going to get Malkus. It's an Isser D'Oraisa. So Rav Yitzchak just simply points to that Braisa and says, I recognize that author. The author of that Braisa is going to be Shitas Beis Shammai. Now, I know that according to Beis Hillel, he subscribes to Mitoch. How do I know that? The E Beis Hillel, that's the next line of the Gemara. The E Beis Hillel, Amri Mitoch Shehu Hotzal Letzarech, Huchanami Shalol Letzarech. So, Hachanami Mitoch Shehu Shechita Letzarech, Huchanami Shalol Letzarech. I know that Beis Hillel subscribes to Mitoch. Why? Because of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah here in Beis Adaf Yud Beis tells us that what you can do on Yantiv is that you're allowed to carry food. Nah, the Mishnah doesn't give examples of food. The Mishnah gives examples of a Sefer Torah, of a Lulav, of a Katan, meaning that Shalol Letzarech. When we say shelo letzarach, meaning shelo letzarach achila. And yet the Mishnah says it's perfectly permissible. So why is it perfectly permissible? Because the assumption now is that hotza'ah is allowed because of ochel nefesh. Now, I know that still takes a little bit of thinking. Hotza'ah is allowed because of ochel nefesh. Shechita, I understand. Bishul, I understand. Havara, I understand. Hotza'ah? Ochel nefesh? Okay, so, and if I could just argue, I have to argue, because obviously the Gemara assumes this way. So, yeah, hotza'ah is for ochel nefesh, because in order to get the animal from the field into my house, so you need hotza'ah, right? And animals, I understand, walk by themselves. Maybe we could be talking about eggs. We could talk about birds. Okay, in other words, right, for the purposes of cooking, so that means that things have to be moved around from one location to another. Hotza'ah. Okay, so hotza'ah is mutter an yantav l'tzarcha ochel nefesh. And once you subscribe to an expansion of mitoch, so that means that if I'm doing hotza'ah now for ochel nefesh, I can even do it for non-tzarech, non-ochel nefesh. That's our Mishnah. That would be the pshat in our Mishnah. So did I finish the sentence? I'm unsure. Mitoch she'ucher hotza'ah l'tzarech, hucher nami shelo l'tzarech, hachanami mitoch she'ucher shechita l'tzarech, hucher nami shelo l'tzarech. Okay, now I finished the sentence. Good. The author of the Braisa presented in front of Rabbi Yitzchak cannot be the Shita of Beis Hillel. Because once you subscribe to this idea of Mitoch, so then Shechting Olos Nedava on Yantav is not going to result in Malkus. Now, would Beis Hillel go so far to say that it would be Mutter Legamre? I'll leave that as an open-ended question. Presumably the answer is no. The Gemara doesn't really speak that out. But certainly, what we could say definitively, because the Gemara said it, is that according to Beis Hillel, you're not going to get Malkus. It's not Nisa Daraisa because of the principle of Mitoch. So over here now in our Gemara, so we are now introduced to this really important concept of Yantiv, and that is Mitoch. We have a Malacha that's Mutter because of Ochel Nefesh. Now, what are those Malachas? That is such a wonderful question. And the strangest part about our daf today is that the Gemara does not detail and outline which Malachas are in fact permissible by Ochel Nefesh. Now, I made this point already back on Daf Gimel, because Tosfos discussed this at length back on Daf Gimel. Not every malacha is going to be mutter on Yantav because of Ochel Nefesh. Okay? Going all the way back to Daf Gimel, remember, one of the reasons that the Gemara laid out in terms of why it is that if an egg is laid on Yantav, you're not allowed to eat the egg. So the Gemara gave four reasons in the beginning of the Masechta. One of the reasons is because if we do that, so what you're going to end up doing is that you're going to end up picking a fruit off of a tree. Gzeira. Because you're going to pick a fruit off a tree. And Tosos back on Daf Gimel said, and picking a fruit off of a tree on Yantav, isn't that Ochel Nefesh? It is. And meanwhile, Tolesh is not Mutter on Yantav. Okay. So, and there are a number other examples, but I'm just going back to what we did earlier, right, about a week and a half ago. A number of other examples where you see clearly that not every Malacha is going to be Mutter on Yantav because of Ochel Nefesh. So, it would have been, admittedly, much more helpful if the Gemara just at this point in time would pause and say, hey, by the way, which malachas are in fact mutter because of Ochel Nefesh? The general idea, and Tosla spoke about this back on Daf Gimel, is that those malachas that are kind of like the end, the finishing touches, if you will, right? Cooking and shechting and carrying and lighting a fire. So in other words, the actual cooking of the animal. So those are the malachas that are allowed. But malachas that are earlier stages, and if I could throw in another svara, malachas that could have been done before Yantav, so those are not the malachas that are mutter on Yantav. That is an imprecise way to try to look at it. But at this point in time, I'm just sketching a basic picture of what we're describing over here, what we're discussing over here, in terms of malachas that are mutter because of Ochel Nefesh and Beis Hillel's expansion of Mitoch. Good. Maskifla Rabba Mimaida Beishamayu Beisalo Ba Pligi. So the Gemara says, okay. So you think this is all a predicate of Mitoch. The Gemara says, you know, you don't have to say that. Meaning, if your whole premise of the principle of assigning that Braisa of Olas Adav Anyantav, if your whole premise is because of our Mishnah, I'll tell you what, I could look at our Mishnah, I can give an entirely different pshat in our Mishnah. And it is not a predicate of mitoch. Maybe it's just an issue of hotza'ah. So maskefla rabba mimai de beishamay beisol bahapligi dilma be'eruva hotza'ah l'shabbos vein eruva hotza'ah l'yamtov kemiflegi. Could it not be that the machlokus over here between beishamay and beisol is just a simple question of maybe there's no malacha of hotza on Yontif. That's all. Meaning we know that hotza is one of the 39 malachas. Yeah, but that's for Shabbos. Maybe it's not a malacha on Yontif. Mar savar erev hotza l'Shabbos ve'erev hotza l'Yontif. Mar savar erev hotza l'Shabbos ve'ein erev hotza l'Yontif. It could be that they're just simply debating whether or not the malacha of hotza applies on Yontif. Why would I make an argument to say that it doesn't apply in Yantiv? Kiddichsev, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Lo sotzia masa mibatechem biyama Shabbos. So the Navi is pleading with the Jewish people, don't carry out on Shabbos. So the Navi in Yirmiyahu is talking about not carrying, and the Navi also adds, and don't do this on Shabbos. Now, if you want to read the Pasuk carefully, which the Gemara is about to do, v'Shabbos in biyantiv lo. Yeah, the Navi is only talking about Shabbos, not talking about Yantiv. And so it could very well be that the issue of our Mishnah over here has nothing to do with the heter of Ochel Nefesh and Mitoch. That's not the Pshat in our Mishnah. The Pshat in our Mishnah is just simply a very basic disagreement between the Tanaim in terms of whether or not Hotza applies on Yantiv. Now, just in terms of the language of the Gemara, so it says Erev Vahotza. So the way Rashi understands it is that Erev over here just simply means Erev Chatzeres, meaning if there is an Isra of Hotza, so then you have to contend with carrying not only from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim, but from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid, and therefore the institution of Erev Chatzeros. Rashi says that's how to understand the word Erev in the context of our Gemara over here. Obviously, Erev is not Nisa Daraisa, and not putting up an Erev is not going to result in Nisa Daraisa. It just, once there's Otsa'a, Erev now becomes something to contend with. If there is no Isra of Otsa'a, so then the entire institution of Erev falls away. That's Rashi's understanding. Tosfos doesn't agree with his understanding, but anyway, that just to quickly explain the Lashon of Erev. Anyway, Maskev LaRav Yosef, back to the Gemara. So right now on the table is a proposal that the machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel of our Mishnah is not at all have anything to do with Mitoch, but rather it is a simple question of whether or not Hotza applies on Yantiv. So Maskev LaRav Yosef, Elamiata, Liflugu Bavanim. So the Gemara says, really, that's so interesting. So now, if that's true, so rather than having a debate about carrying a child, a Sefer Torah, a lulav, I got this great idea. Why doesn't the Mishnah talk about stones? Meaning, if there is no Hotza'a, like you're contending, so then what you should be able to do is, you should be able to carry stones. So, by virtue of the fact that they're not arguing about stones, so you see over here that that's not the issue. The issue is not whether or not Hotza applies or does not apply on Yantiv. The issue is what we originally proposed, which is it's a question of Mitoch. Now, big question, simple question. Why is the Gemara suggesting that if Hotza doesn't apply, so then the Mishnah should be talking about moving stones? So Rashi writes over here the following. Okay, and Rashi, there's a lot of Rashi today to make a really big deal about. So let's make a big deal about this. Rashi says, because if there's no Hotza'a, so then there would be no Isser of Muksa. Rashi writes. Why? Because why did the Chachamim Gozer Muksa? The Chachamim Gozer Muksa, says Rashi, right here in our daf. The Chachamim Gozer Muksa, because what happens if you start getting comfortable picking items up? Well, if you pick an item up, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to end up carrying it outside. Okay? Hotza'a is one of those malachas which is imperceptible. In other words, you're not changing an item, you're not doing a creative activity. All you're doing is just simply moving an item from point A to point B. So if I get comfortable now with picking items up, so haphazardly, absentmindedly, I'm going to end up moving it from one location to another. So the only reason why the Chachamim were goes to Muksa was because of Hotza. Once Hotza is removed from the discussion, so then there would be no Muksa. And if there's no Muksa, so I can go ahead and take stones and pick up stones on Yantiv. And if that's true, so then the Mishnah should have highlighted not the movement of Lulav, Sefer Torah, and Katan, but the Mishnah should have highlighted the moving of stones. Ah, but now, by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah is not talking about stones, so that means that Muksa is enforced. That means that there must be some version of Hotza that applies in Yantiv. Ah, but you have the heter of Ochel Nefesh, and you have the expansion of Mitoch. Okay. That is the way Rashi understands our Gemara over here. A couple of questions that Rashi himself addresses. If the entire institution of Muksa is predicated on the fact that you pick something up, you're going to end up carrying it, so the truth of the matter is, so what should be subject to Muksa? Everything. everything. Meaning if the whole concern of the Chachamim is you're going to pick something up and you're going to take it out, so then that should be true not only regarding a pen and a pencil, it should be true regarding an apple and an orange. So why is the muksa apply to everything? It's a klutz kasha, meaning there has to be an answer. But the way Rashi presents it is that it's impossible. In other words, we couldn't function like that. It would be a gzera she'atzibur e'ef she'yachol amod bo. It just would be impossible. So the Chachamim, within the gzera of Muksa, so they carved out some allowances, right? Which is a klisha malachta laheter, even a klisha malachta l'isr, l'tzorch oil, l'tzorch gufa, l'tzorch makomo, etc., etc. Okay, that's the way Rashi presents it. Okay. Another major issue is that we just learned together that there is this idea of mitoch. Mitoch tells me that once a melacha is allowed on yantif for ochel nefesh, it is mutar afilu shelo litzarech. Good. When the Gemara says afilu shelo litzarech, what does that mean? Rashi takes the most literal reading of the Gemara. Rashi says, even if it has no tzarech whatsoever, meaning even if there is simply no current benefit that can be gained from it, nevertheless, once the Torah allows it for ochel nefesh, so then they allowed it, afilu shelo letzarech. And Rashi's understanding is, no tzarech whatsoever. So that means to say that once cooking is allowed on yantiv, so then the act of cooking would be allowed, even if it doesn't result in an achila. Okay. Now, that position of Rashi seems to be really difficult. There seems to be a number of other Gemaras that would indicate that even if we need to subscribe to mitoch, which of course we do, meaning that sheet is Beis Hillel, we do subscribe to mitoch. But even if I subscribe to the sheet of Beis Hillel, there are still some limitations. Tosos
can't cook for a chol on Yom Tov.
Can't cook for a
chol on Yom Tov.
A chola?
No, for a chol, Yom Chol.
Oh, right, correct. Ah, so it's right. So perfect. So Tosos perfect. So Tosos quotes the Gemara in Pesachim, and the Gemara in Pesachim discusses and describes how there are absolute limitations regarding cooking on Yantiv, even when, in fact, you subscribe to Mitoch. So this position of Rashi is really difficult. However, in just a moment, I'm going to show you in our Gemara, there seems to be a Beferish Gemara that is totally supportive of Rashi. Yes, there may be other Gemaras that are going to be difficult to explain based on this position of Rashi, but our Gemara over here, I'm going to show you in just a moment, is totally supportive of Rashi. Okay, so, right, this is really the cornerstone of the Masechta, in terms of the expansion of a malacha. A malacha is allowed on Yantiv. Which malachas, by the way, can we point to? Well, we at least right now have a list of four that we can point to. We can point to the malacha of Bishul, right? Even though hasn't yet really been articulated yet in our Gemara. Hotza'ah, Shechita, and Havara. Are there other malachas as well? Unclear. Seemingly no. Okay, but those four, however, we certainly can point to as being malachas that are mutar because of ochel nefesh, and again with an expansion mitoch shehut shel tzarech shel nami shel tzarech. That shitas Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, on the other hand, says no. In other words, yes, there's a heter of ochel nefesh, but that's it. There is no expansion, and so Beis Shammai subscribes to the idea that you are not allowed to engage in that malacha if it is not an ochel nefesh activity, like carrying a child, carrying a Sefer Torah, carrying a lulav. The only reason why you'd be allowed to carry them is only predicated on mitoch. And according to Beis Shammai, he doesn't subscribe to mitoch. Okay. The Rav Yochanan Now Rav Yochanan agrees with the position of Rabbi Yitzchak that the machlokus of our Mishnah here in Beis Adaf Yud Beis is really a function of mitoch. How do I know that Rav Yochanan agrees? Based on the following exchange. The following brisa was reported in front of Rabbi Yochanan, which is a mavasha gedanasha bechalav biyamto va'achlo loke. Let's say you cook a gedanasha together with milk on yantav and you eat it, right? Numerous mishnayos and brisas talk about trying to get the most out of your money in terms of isurim. How can a person do? Now here it's not one activity, but in other words, a few activities, and meanwhile be liable to multiple lavin. Okay, can I please make the most obvious point? The Gemara is not condoning. The Gemara is just simply looking for scenarios in which there would be that malacha, this is or that is, sir. In other words, it's just a way of highlighting the various Yisurim that come out. So over here, cooking and eating can result in five sets of malchus. Now let's count it out. Look at Chamish. Look at Mishum Mavashal Gid. So number one, it's Yantiv, and what are you doing? You're cooking a Gid and Asha. Okay? The Gid and Asha tastes good. I'm not the right person to ask. But but it is a sinew, right? Actually, it's a nerve. But it's an inedible piece of meat. Yet the Torah prohibits it. Okay. So, but nevertheless, the act of cooking it on Yantav, is that a tzarech ochel nefesh? Nah. But yet the author of this brisa says, you're going to be chayiv. Now, v'loka mishum ochel gid. Now, remember, not only did you cook it, but you eat it as well. Eating the gid and ash is aser. So that's a second iser. V'loka mishum mevashel basar b'chalav. Also, you cook the gid and ash with milk. Now, here an interesting discussion. We discussed this at length back in Chulin. Is the gid and ash considered meat? Right now, we are assuming, yes. So the gid and ash is considered meat, so cooking it together with milk would be a violation of cooking meat and milk. Remember, by the iser of basar b'chalav, there are three iserim by basar b'chalav. One of them is you're not allowed to cook basar b'chalav. A second is you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav. And the third is hana'ah. Right now, hana'ah is not our focus. But anyway, so you cook the gid and ash with milk. That is now going to be another lav. Also, lokim mishum ochel basar b'chalav. You ate it. So now, not only are you in violation of eating the gid and ash, but because you cooked it with milk, you're also going to be in violation of eating basar b'chalav as well. Veloke, that was already four. Veloke, now we turn to the top of the Amud Beis. Veloke mishum havara. Additionally, you made a fire. In other words, in order to cook it, obviously, you had to make a fire. But remember, that fire that you made over there was not for the purposes of ochel nefesh, because what did you do with that fire? You cook it in asha, which you're not going to end, which is not nachila. I know you ate it, but it's not nachila, and so therefore that's havara shelo letzarech, and yet that's asur as well. So this brisa was reported in front of Rav Yochanan. So now Rav Yochanan is measuring that brisa, and Rav Yochanan says amalei poktani levra. So Rav Yochanan says, so here's what you'll do with the brisa. Out of the base medrash. I don't want to hear that brisa again. That brisa is simply a untenable brisa. And so that will be the last time that I hear that brisa. Okay? So poke to nilabra. So havara bishalaina mishnah. So because the brisa clearly taking the position that you're going to get malchus for lighting the fire, you're going to get malchus for bishal, you're not going to get malchus for either one of them. Now the intents of loma mishnah, and if you're going to entertain for that brisa for just a moment, the best I could say is that's Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai doesn't subscribe to mitoch. So I'm making a fire for a non-eating event. I'm cooking for a non-eating event. You're going to get malchus for doing that? Beit Shammai subscribes to that idea. He doesn't expand the heter of ochel nefesh. Good. And Rashi says this a couple times in today's daf, that for Beit Shammai, once it no longer is filed under Ochel Nefesh, so then it's an Issa Daraisa. And it's clear from our Gemara over here. Okay, so that means to say that, okay, so Rav Yochanan says, look, at best you could say about the Braisa, it cheats us Beit Shammai. But, according to Beis Hillel, the E Beis Hillel, Kevan de Amri, Mitoch Shehutra Otsal Etzarech, Hutra Nami Shalot Tzarech, Hachanami Mitoch Shehutra Haval Etzarech, because if you subscribe to Beis Hillel, once there's a heter of Havara Litzarech, which there is, and you have the Mitoch, which is an expansion of that heter, so that means to say that Havara can be done, Afilu Shalol Litzarech, you're not going to get Malkus for lighting a fire to cook the Gid and Asha. You're not going to get Malkus for cooking the Gid and Asha. I know it's a non-eating event, but you have the expansion, you have Mitoch. Once you have Mitoch, you're not going to get Malkus. Okay. I promised earlier that I'm going to show you Gemara that favors Rashi, that when you subscribe to mitoch shehut shel tzarech, hut shenami shelo letzarech, Rashi says shelo letzarech means there doesn't have to be any need for it whatsoever. So this Gemara that we just learned together is in clear support of Rashi. Because what are we describing over here in this brisa? Cooking a gid and asha, lighting a fire for the cooking of a gid and asha. Is there any tzarech for the gid and asha? It's an inedible piece of nerves of the animal. You want to call this a tzorech ksas? It's hard to argue that. And not only is it inedible, we can make a much stronger point. It's usur. You're not allowed to eat it. So over here, what kind of tzorech is there for the gid and asha? right? Yeah, right. You ask, and you don't even you don't need to go to a rabbi. Go to just somebody who knows Chumash, and say, "Are you allowed to eat the Ganasha?" No, the Torah prohibits it. Parshas Vayishlach. Huh? Yeah, but we're talking about eating it though.
No, is it
no.
You can give it to the dog.
It is Basar B'Cholov. Basar B'Cholov is Asar B'Ana. Yeah. Okay, but it's a good thought. It's a good thought. It's not a food. It is. In other words, the Torah prohibits Gidon Asha, so the Torah regards it as some sort of food. And, okay, it's a good thought. Okay, anyway, so this Gemara over here is going to be supportive of Rashi. And then, and on the daf that I didn't do, meaning today's daf, Tosis's version, who says that in order to expand mitoch, it has to be some tzarech involved. So according to Tosos, so what would you say over here? We don't have to guess. Tosos actually says it, right? I skipped all the big Tosos on the Amud Aleph, but there are small Tosos over here on the Amud Bey. Says, well, because this person wants to eat the Gidon Asha, so that's considered a small tzarech. He writes, Yesh lamar kevin shahaya bidato shozel la'achlo. It's a really difficult svara. It's a difficult svara, right? You want to eat the Gidon Asha. So that for you becomes a tzarech, even though you're not allowed to. You're prohibited from doing so. Okay, right, it's a whatever. But the idea behind Rashi that mitoch shehucha l'tzarech hucha nami shelo l'tzarech, and Rashi says there doesn't have to be any tzarech whatsoever. Okay, good. Our Gemara over here certainly supportive of that idea. Okay, Adkan. Takes us to the end of a really critical sugya, like the cornerstone of the Heter Manyantiv. There's obviously much more to discuss, but we have a daf, and we're going to go on. And so we are at the Mishnah. Beishami Omrim, before we start with this Mishnah, sorry, just a short introduction. So you're not allowed to be mafreshim as a maisa sanyantiv. Okay, the Torah doesn't prohibit it, but the Chachamim did. Now, why were the Chachamim prohibiting being mafreshim as a maisos? So a number of things. Two that I'll point out. Number one is that when you're being mafresh or masamaiso, so it's like you're being makdish an item. You're elevating the status of item. So being makdish an item on yantiv is an issa de rabbanan, and this would fall under that issa. Additionally, when you are being mafresh or masamaiso, so what you're doing now is you're taking something that you can't eat and you're rendering it edible, because now the rest of the remainder is no longer tevel. It's now chulin, it's mesukan, and so if you do that on yantiv, so it's similar to makeh bepatish. In other words, you are fixing it. Okay, but we're not saying it's an issur daraisa, but nevertheless, the chachamim aser being mafreshim shumas amaisos. With that stated, however, there are two forms of hafrasha that are allowed on yantiv. Number one being mafresh chala. You're allowed to be mafresh chala on yantiv. Now, it makes sense. We made this point earlier in the Masechta, and we get to review this point. Because you're allowed to bake bread on yantiv. You're allowed to knead the dough in order to bake the bread on yantiv. When does the mitzvah of hafrasha chala even begin? Only from the point of lisha. So, it would be impossible if on one hand you're allowed to do lisha on yantiv, but on the other hand you can't be mafresh chala. Well, if I'm not mafresh chala, so then how are we eating it? Okay, so the system, yeah, there is min ha-Torah, there is no shir, but you still have to be mafresh something. Okay, so it's too impossible a situation. The Chachamim were matir being mafresh chala. One other thing that the Chachamim were allowing you to be mafresh, and that is the matanos to a kohen. When I say matanos, I mean the zor l'chai v'keva. Every animal that gets shechted, this is not a carbon-related halacha. Every animal that gets shechted, so you must give three parts of that animal to a kohen. This is what's called the matanos. There's an entire perek in Chulin dedicated to this topic. And so the Zor L'chai V'keva, not to go through the anatomy right now, I'll just say right now, simply, three parts of the animal have to go to a kohen. So, when does this obligation kick in? After you shech the animal. On yantiv, you're allowed to shech the animal. So once again, it's an impossible situation where you're allowed to shech the animal, but you're not allowed to be mafresh the matanos to the kohen. Okay, so the chachamim therefore were matir the hafreshas matanos to the kohen. So being mafresh shumas amaisos in general is aser anyantiv. However, with two notable exceptions, Hafreshes Chala and the Matanos Azor L'chai V'keva. Good. That's what we need to know going into the Mishnah. We know. Beit Shammai Omrim Ein Molichin Chala U'Matanos L'Kohen B'Yantav. So Beit Shammai says, good, you're Mafresh. Now what? So you think the next step would be to deliver to the Kohen. That's a lovely thought. Beit Shammai says, no. You'll do it after Yantav. Now, I know it sounds funny, but okay. That's Shitas Beit Shammai. Bein Shehormo Me'emesh, Bein Shehormo Me'hayom. And Beit Shammai says, and it doesn't matter whether it was separated before Yantav, whether it's separated on Yantav, you cannot deliver it to the Kohen. And we're going to try to explain in just a moment what the svar is behind Beit Shammai. Ooh, Beis El Amatirin. Now, Beis El says that it's Mutter. Now, Amru Lahem Beit Shammai. Gzereshava. Now, Beishamai says to Beisilal, now Gzereshava. Gzereshava over here is used euphemistically. It is not to be taken literally. We're talking about Gzere the Rabbanans over here. We're not going to be citing a pasuk. Gzereshava over here just simply means let's compare. Okay, Gzereshava. Chala matanos, matana lekoin. Utruma matana lekoin. So look, we have chala, we have matanos. They all fall under the category of matanos kahuna. Truma also falls under the category of matnas kahuna. Simply put, let's compare being mafresh chala, taking off the zor l'chai v'keva. Let's compare that to truma. So kishem she'ein molichin as a truma, kachem molichin as a matanos. Now, to deliver the truma to the kohen on yantav, you're not allowed to do. Well, if I'm not allowed to deliver truma, so I'm also not allowed to deliver these other matanos. Amar lan beis hillel, you probably already can anticipate the response. Amar lan beis hillel, lo. How can you compare the two? For truma, there is no heter to be mafresh truma on yantif. For chala and for zor l'chai v'keva, there is a heter to be mafresh them. So they're not comparable. Okay. So in the exchange between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, so at least now we understand a little bit better behind what's behind the shita Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai basically saying as follows. Look, to be mafresh chala, yes. To be mafresh zor l'chai v'keva, yes. But once you get comfortable, once you get into the habit of delivering it to the Kohen, so you do that, and you're going to end up delivering other matanos to the Kohen, notably truma. And once you get comfortable with that, so then you're going to be mafresh truma. Now, I know, in my thought process for Beit Shammai, we're a lot of steps removed from being mafresh truma, and the svar that I just presented for Beit Shammai is still really difficult, because when all said and done, being mafresh truma is in of itself in Issa de Rabbanan, not Issa de Raisa. So, I am struggling trying to explain Beit Shammai, but he's a Shita. I understand, not accepted, but still, there's a mitzvah to understand him. So, and what Beis Hillel would argue, which they just did in the Mishnah, is no. If the Chachamim allowed you to be Mafresh Chala, included in that, of course, is also the delivery. If the Chachamim allowed you to be Mafresh Zor L'chai V'keva, including that is also going to be the delivery. Good. So now, in terms of understanding our Mishnah, so right now the Gemara telegraphs its punch. We at this point then think, we think at this early stage that when the Mishnah describes the trumas amaisos and the chala that were separated. So that was Hurma Mehayom and Nishchata Mehayom, as opposed to Hurma from yesterday and Shechted yesterday. Okay, and I'll explain that better in just a moment. Mani Masisan Lo Rabbi Yosef Lo Rabbi Yehuda El Acherim. Now there are going to be not one, not two, but three different versions of the machlokus between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Our Mishnah subscribes to which of the three? Well, we're first going to introduce ourselves to all three. And the Gemara is going to tell us that our Mishnah seems to be aligned with only one of the three. Ditanya. The Gemara here quotes a Braisa. Am Rav Yehuda lo nechlu Beit Shammai Beit Hillel al hamatana shehormo me'er v'yantav. Shemolichen im hamatana shehormo me'ayom v'shenishcha me'ayom. So according to Rav Yehuda, if you were mafresh chala and matanos prior to yantav, so then you cannot deliver them. If, however, you were mafresh chala before yantav and chala on yantav, so what you could do is you can bring the collective over to the kohen. Same thing is true regarding matanos. If you shecht an animal both before yantav and on yantav, so you could bring the collective over to the kohen. That is agreed upon. Lo nechliku ella lo holicham b'fnei atzman. However, the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only when you have chala and matanos that were separated prior to Yontif. Shebeis Shammai omrim ein molichin, and Beis Hillel omrim molichin. Where Beis Shammai says he can't deliver, and Beis Hillel says he can deliver. V'kachayu Beis Shammai danin. And so now, the back and forth. Chala matanos matan lekoin, uchuma matan lekoin. Kishem shem molichin as a chuma, kach ein molichin as a matanos. Well, you know you can't deliver truma to a kohen on Yontif. Now, even truma that was mufresh before Yontif, same thing regarding chala and matanos. Amalem Beis Hillel, lo, ima martim truma she'ino zakai b'haramasa, tamar b'matanos zakai b'haramasan. And Beis Hillel will tell you, how can you compare? So truma, you're not allowed to be mafresh on Yontif. Chala and matanos, you are allowed to be mafresh on Yontif. Okay. Now, in this first version of Rev Yehuda, so he's of the position that if the chala and the matanos were separated on Yontif, according to everybody, they could be delivered to the Kohen. Furthermore, even in Rabbi Yehuda's presentation of the Machlokas, if let's say I have a collective of Chala that was Mufrash before and on Yontif, that could also be delivered. The only Machlokas is Chala and matanos that were Shechted, or separated or Shechted prior to Yontif by itself. Okay. That seemingly is not our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Lo nechluku. Here we are now with our second version, Rabbi Yossi. Lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel ala matanos shemolichin. Lo nechluku ala ala truma ala ala truma. So according to Rabbi Yossi, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are not arguing about matanos, where you are allowed to deliver. The only thing they're arguing about is truma. Obviously, truma that you separated before Yontif. Again, everyone agrees you're not allowed to be mafir truma on Yontif. And so here now, once again, an exchange. But an exchange relative to Rabbi Yossi's understanding of the Machlokas. So, Chala Matanos, Matanos Lekohen, Truma Matanos Lekohen, Kishen Shemolichin is a Matanos, Kach Molichin is a Truma. So, so Beis Hillel says, look, I'm allowed to deliver Chala, I'm allowed to deliver Matanos, I could deliver Truma as well. And Beis Shammai's counter argument is, how can you compare? Chala and matanos, you're allowed to be mafresh on Yontif, and allowed to be mafresh truma, not comparable. Now, clearly, according to Rav Yossi, so Rav Yossi will tell you that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that you can not only be mafresh chala and matanos on Yontif, everyone agrees to that, you can even deliver it. Now, that clearly is not our Mishnah. Meaning, if anything, our Mishnah is certainly not going like Rabbi Yossi. That's out of the question. Now, Acherim Omrim, here we are now with our third presentation of the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Acherim Omrim, lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al Truma, she'im olichin. Look, to take Truma to deliver to a Kohen on Yontif, you can't do. And again, just to make the obvious point, even Truma, not even, a Truma that was separated before Yontif. You can't separate Truma on Yontif, but even Truma that was separated before Yontif, you can't deliver it on Yontif. And again, just the reason why is because once you get comfortable with the handling of truma and the delivery of the truma, up to it's going to lead to hafrashas truma, which the chachamim didn't want us to do. Lo nechlugu ela ala matanos shebeis shammai omrim ein molichin or beis hillel omrim molichin. So the machlokas between the two of them is matanos. So Beis Shammai says you cannot deliver the matanos and the chala, and Beis Hillel says you can. Now lema acherim hi velo Rabbi Yehuda. Now, after having gone over not one, not two, but three different versions of the Machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, our Mishnah is in synchronicity with, presumably, the Shita of Acherim. That seems to best fit and match our Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah is not particularly clear about what Chala we're talking about. We're talking about Chala that was Mufrash on Yontif? Is it talking about Chala that was Mufrash before Yontif? So, it certainly sounds like that the Mishnah over here is not going to make a distinction. And and if that's true, so then our Mishnah aligns itself with Acherim's understanding. Fine, that would seem to be the best way to explain our Mishnah. Amar Rava Miketani Shehurma Meyom V'Shenishchutu Meyom Shehurmu Ketani Ula Olam Shchitasam Me'emesh. So the Gemara so Rava says, yeah, but all that is reading into the Mishnah, and you didn't have to read all that into the Mishnah. In fact, the Mishnah could be talking about where it was shechted yesterday, where the challah was mufrash yesterday. That's the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. However, if you did the hafrasha of challah today on Yantiv, or if you did the shechita today on Yantiv, could be that everyone would agree in our Mishnah that you're allowed to deliver. So lema Reb Yehudi v'lo acherim. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true now, so then our Mishnah would align with Reb Yehuda and not the shechita of the acherim. So the Gemara says, afilu tema acherim. Not necessarily. It could very well be that our Mishnah aligns with the acherim. Uvahanach b'nishchetu me'emesh. And we're talking about only that which was shechted yesterday, meaning the machlokes b'sham and b'silal is only vis-a-vis animals that were shechted before yantiv, or challah that was separated before yantiv. That's the shita of the acherim. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. If that's the shita of the acherim, so you know who the acherim sounds exactly like? It sounds exactly like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Ihachi haina Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, that's troublesome. So the Gemara says, ikamenau tfela. So the Gemara says, well, yes and no. Meaning the acherim now are going to be very similar to that of Rabbi Yehuda, but with one notable difference. In that Rabbi Yehuda has the following allowance. You are allowed to deliver challah and matanas to a kohen with that which you separate on Yantiv. Everyone agrees. And if it was separated before Yantiv, machlokes b'sham and b'sela. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if I have a collective of challah that was separated before Yantiv, together with challah that was separated on Yantiv, so there, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Shammai will capitulate. He'll yield. He'll say that you can deliver. That sheet is Rabbi Yehuda. On the collective, that's where the Acherim disagree. The Acherim mostly agree, challah that was separated yesterday, you can't deliver, according to Beit Shammai. Challah that was separated on Yantiv, you can deliver, according to Beit Shammai. If I have a collection of the two, according to Acherim, that you're not allowed to deliver. So a subtle, but still, some distinction to be made between the Shita of Rav Yehuda and the Shita of Acherim. Okay, that was just a lot of information we went over. Okay, so Machlokes Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Certainly you're allowed to be Mafrish Chala and Matanas on Yantiv. Are you allowed to deliver them to the Kohen? So we have versions 1, 2, and 3. Version Rav Yehuda, version Rav Yossi, and version Acherim. And a discussion in the Gemara, our Mishnah now is within the Shita of either Rabbi Yehuda or the Shita of Acherim, certainly not the Shita of Rav Yossi. Of the three versions, which one are we going to follow? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Shmuel, halachic Rabbi Yossi. So, of the three versions, we are going to go with the version of Rabbi Yossi. Let's recall, according to the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, he is the most lenient. Rabbi Yossi says that the only machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is only on Truma, meaning that by Chala and by Matanos, you're allowed to deliver that to the Kohen. And according to Rav Yossi, doesn't matter when they were separated, whether on Yantiv, whether before Yantiv, no Machlokas. And the only thing that Rav Yossi says is open to a Machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is just the delivery of Truma. So halachic Rav Yossi, and the Gemara follows up with the story, and with this we're going to conclude. Rabbi Tuvia Berei de Rav Nechemia Havalei Garba de Chamra de Truma. And so he had Truma. And that he was Mafish, obviously, before Yantiv. Also, the coming to Rav Yosef Amaluhu, Maila Amtu Le Kohen Ha'idna. So it's Yantiv. Can I deliver the Truma to the Kohen? So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda's version, according to the Acherim version, you cannot. According to Rav Yosef's version, you may. So Amrle Hachi Am Rav Yehuda Am Shmuel Halacha Rav Yossi, and he says, yeah, that's the halacha. The halacha is like Rav Yossi. So you are in fact allowed to deliver the truma over to the kohen on Yantiv. Yes, Beit Shammai would disagree, but obviously we pass like Beis Hillel. And which version of Beis Hillel? Rav Yossi's version of Beis Hillel. So the Gemara concludes with the most lenient version of the understanding of the machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Okay. Quick recap of today: three basic topics that we covered in today's daf. One. Putting the shutter back onto the ark, onto the chest. Okay, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel argue. Where's their argument? Their argument is, I say this with pun intended, be'emsa. The argument is in the middle. With no bolt, they both agree it's okay. With a bolt on the sides, minatzad, they both agree it's aser. When the bolt's be'emsa, that's the machlokus between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Next major discussion in today's daf, mitoch. The Mishnah says that you're allowed to carry on Yantiv. A, Sefer Torah. A, Lulav. A, baby. So you're allowed to carry them on Yantiv. Why? So the Gemara entertains other possibilities, but the Gemara concludes, Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yochanan, the Amoraim in today's daf, so they conclude that the reason is because of Mitoch. Once the Torah was Matir on Yantiv, Achila, and certain malachas vis-a-vis achila, so they allow those malachas afilu shalalif sarech. Okay, much to discuss regarding this daf today. We barely scratched the surface, but that's the idea of mitoch. The Gemara concludes. And the third topic that we covered today is that despite the fact that you are allowed to be mafresh chala and matanus on yantiv, right, you're not allowed to be mafresh truma, but you're allowed to be mafresh chala and matanus, are you allowed to then deliver them to the kohen? So that's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But over the course of the second half of today's daf, three different ways to say over the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Rav Yossi takes the most lenient approach, whereby matanus and chala, they're not even arguing about matanus and chala. They both say that's okay. The only machlokes is the delivery of truma that you were mafresh before yantiv. Beis Shammai says you can't. Beis Hillel says you can. Ad kan.